And you don't have to need the same thing from her. Maybe you do. But you have to realize she is the one that God has placed that kind of emotion is. She is the one that God has really set the atmosphere for your home. See, John knows when he comes and the dinner table's made and there's flowers on there or something. And I call him at work and say, oh, what do you want for dinner? It already makes him think, look at her doing this for me. And I just want to say this, and I really appreciate this about John. I think he appreciates this about me. Don't take each other for granted. You know, you don't know what tomorrow brings. John still thanks me every time I do his laundry. And I have been doing his laundry for 30 years, maybe minus 10 loads out of 30 years. And every time, he says, you didn't have to do this, but thank you. But you know, it means a lot that he recognizes. And the Lord began to teach me that about him. Because I would just drive up and the lawn was cut and I didn't think he'd care if I said anything. But he really does. People like to be appreciated. Even pastors like to be appreciated. I don't need to be appreciated. Oh, thank you, Lord. We don't, just because somebody gets their need met in Christ, which is awesome, doesn't mean they still don't get blessed by the other person showing them love, attention, and appreciation. If nobody here ever gave me a card or ever did anything, I'd still have grace and I'd still have the Lord and I'd still pour out and pour out because I'm not doing it to receive back from you. But it still always puts a smile, and don't everybody bring a card tomorrow. It still puts a smile on my face, though, when somebody is sensitive to the Holy Spirit just and they give a book or write a card. Or you just don't realize. That's for every relationship, even for your children. But how much for your spouse? See, even the Lord loves it when you just sit down to talk to him because it's him and you're not asking him for anything. Just the Lord loves it when you're driving down the road and you just start thanking him. You thank him for your kids. You thank him for your family. You thank him, you know, you just, well, the Bible is so full of having a thankful heart, isn't it? Well, folks, that's the truth with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus, even the Holy Spirit. I even think the Holy Spirit. And our marriages and our family relationships is supposed to reflect that in the natural. I really think we just need to ask the Lord today when we pray to make us more sensitive. You don't want to wait till things are so bad that then everything you do to try to win her or win him back seems fake. And sometimes you just have to do those things you don't overly want to do, but the Holy Spirit will give you grace. Like go for a walk together. Cook a nice dinner, even if you're busy. And put real plates out there. No matter what that thing is, do you understand what I'm saying? It's we need to begin to be sensitive to how to bless. Now listen, if you do something like that, if you put together this nice dinner and he doesn't say a word, that's okay. You're doing it as unto the Lord. If you're doing it to get something back, it's manipulation. See, when I'm complete in Christ, I can do something. And this is real for me. I've had birthdays where I used to have to bug everybody what to do. I quit doing that. And now I really don't need anybody to do anything, my husband or my kids. And now all of a sudden, John does more than he ever did when I really wanted that. I mean, God wants us to be complete in him, but in our completeness in him, we should begin to be more grateful, more appreciative, more sensitive, more loving. It's not like I'm so complete in God that I don't need anybody or anything else. Well, you really don't in Christ. But it's not about need anymore. It's about God flowing out of you. God flowing out of you. No, I made this dinner because I love you. I wash your clothes because I love you. I tell my kids the right things they need to know because I love them. It's going to flow out. It's not going to be all bottled up and then act all spiritual. All right? Now, we're going to get to the single and all this Mary stuff. I desire all men also to be as myself, but each has his own gift from God, one this way, one that way. But I say to the unmarried men, that would be single men, and to the widows, we can almost put divorced people in here, but only if you really get healed from that divorce, okay? And we'll try to talk about that if we get time. If not, you'll need to get the tape, or we'll have a special meeting for that, okay? But to the widows, it is good for them if they also remain single. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to be inflamed. I'll just be honest with you. Paul had a little bit of an issue here about marriage, and I think maybe it was because he had the gift of to be celibate for real, and he couldn't even understand. He just couldn't understand God drawing two people together to just walk together and enjoy each other's company and glorify God in that. So Paul's kind of saying, I do agree that if you absolutely know that you want to be intimate with someone, then God will bring that spouse into your life. But it really needs to go a lot deeper. That needs to be, I want to share my life with somebody. I don't feel like God has called me to be someone who will be, who will just live my life only unto the Lord, okay? So I think Paul maybe focuses, personally, I think he maybe focuses more on the sex issue than really understanding that some people really have not been given that gift to spend their life alone. All right. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to be inflamed. But I command the ones being married. But I command the ones being married, not I, but the Lord. Now he's talking that he really believes the Lord showing him this. A woman, okay, so this is from God, all right? Are you ready for this? I command the ones being married, not I, but the Lord, that a woman is not to be separated from her husband. But if she is separated, she is to remain unmarried or to be reconciled to the husband. And a husband is not to leave his wife. Now we have to look at our culture, and we have to look at their culture, and we have to really just ask the Holy Spirit to give us understanding on this. But what he is saying, I believe, after all that we've talked about to get to this point, is God sees the Christian husband and the Christian wife as one, and he wants them together until death do them part. If the wife is so unhappy in that situation, cannot handle that situation, even though it is not God's desire that they separate, if she needs to, and I believe for a season to work out reconciliation, but if she needs to separate, she is to know it's to work out reconciliation or to remain single. Why? Because God still sees you as married. And he says to the man here, you're not to leave her. And I'm going to tell you why. Oh, I just got this one. God, Jesus Christ will never leave his bride. She has to be the one to walk away. The Christian husband represents to the world this revelation of marriage to Christ. He cannot leave, because when a Christian man leaves his wife, his Christian wife, that he's one with in the eyes of God, he is saying that God might leave and forsake us. Can't do it. He's showing here the believer might walk away from God, but if she goes to another, she's revealing idolatry and blasphemy and would be revealing to the world that it's okay for the bride of Christ to fool around with other idols. This is just not true. But God is saying, if you can't stay in the situation, then separate, but work towards reconciliation. Okay? But the husband's not to leave his wife. He says, to the rest I say, not the Lord. This is him saying it now. So isn't that funny? Out of all the stuff he's talking about, he's kind of got opinions. He's kind of got things he's believing, his way of handling it. But boy, when he gets to that married husband and wife, God comes right into his letter. God comes right into his talking and says, don't you let them think they can be separated. Isn't that what just happened? He was going to just say what he thought, and Holy Spirit was right there. No. Don't you give them any kind of permission to divorce and to be with another person. All right, now. He goes, but to the rest I say, and not the Lord, if any brother has an unbelieving wife. All right, now we're getting into people who are married, and one's a Christian and one isn't, okay? Is all this making sense to everybody? Yes? Yes? No? I don't think you have to like it. I'm just saying, doesn't it make sense? See, when you get the revelation, though, doesn't it make sense? Instead of just being a bunch of rules that don't make sense, that seem like they're punishing one person over another person and this and that, you've got to understand. And we need to teach our children what this is all about so they'll really understand what true marriage is about. To the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she consents to live with him, let him not leave her. All right, I want you to see this. This is not God saying you can't leave. Why? Because God doesn't see them as one yet. God will never see them as one until the unbelieving spouse is a believer. If the unbelieving wife says she wants to stay with you, then stay with her. And if a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified by the husband. Sanctified means set apart. In other words, God's going to go after them. If they want to stay there, if they don't mind you going to church, if they don't mind you praying, if they're not going to cause a bunch of trouble while you go after God and live a godly life, let them stay. Because God is going to zero in on them. Otherwise, your children are unclean, but they're holy. So God's perfect will for two people who weren't saved, and see, Bible people, Christians know you only marry Christians. They understood how important this was. They understood how real this was. You don't even have the kind of mess we have in the church today because the gospel's been watered down. So the only scenario that you're going to have an unbeliever married to a believer is the believer got saved after they were married, right? And what he's saying, okay, you were drawn together, you know, whatever. You're okay with this person before you got saved. If they're okay with you being saved and going after God and serving God, stay in the situation. It's going to help the children. God's going to use you to make sure the children are taken care of. And don't worry, God has set this person aside. This person's been set apart, sanctified. They're being targeted by God. And many, many times, if they're really at peace with you getting saved and they're all right with the whole scenario, that means some devils in them aren't going to show up, because they will. You will watch that person find Christ. And then, yay, we got to believe in husband, believe in wife, and the kids. That's God's perfect way for people who were not Christians before they got married. That's the way he wants to see it done, okay? It's going to mean hanging in there. It's going to mean submitting. It's going to mean revealing Christ. It's going to mean walking in love. And watch God work that thing, all right? Now, let's go to verse 15. If the unbelieving one separates, let them be separated. The brother or the sister is not in bondage in such matters. God has called us to peace. For what do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? What do you know, husband, whether you will save the wife? This is going to help a lot of people. It doesn't mean if an unbelieving spouse is abusive, drunkard, hateful, nasty, and not letting there be peace in the house, that you have to stay in that situation because they're just not going to get up and leave. And they're just not going to have an affair. Do you understand this? God just, he wants your house at peace. He wants your children in an atmosphere of peace. So if you have a truly unbelieving heathen spouse who absolutely is causing trouble everywhere you turn, just because he won't leave that family home doesn't mean that you cannot take the children and separate from him. God does not see you as one. Why? Why does God not see them as one? He didn't yoke them together. Now, I think Paul is so right in this. The perfect picture would be you living such a holy life that the Bible says women win them without a word. So this is no way telling everybody who's married to an unbeliever to rush out the door and separate the first time there's a little bit of a problem. It's saying, look, if you'll just come to God for grace and work this out, you can get that. There's a very high probability, because God has called that person sanctified, that you will watch God work this thing and see that person saved. Okay? But if there is an abusive, drunken, mean, hateful person where there can be no peace in the home, constantly coming against you, constantly coming against the children, a terrible influence on the kids, and you just know that, and let me say this about this kind of scripture, any kind of scripture, you need to hear God about this. If you're leaving a situation, you need to have grace to leave, and if you're staying in a situation, you need to have grace to stay. There's no rule. Now, in the situation of fornication, we kind of skipped over that a few seconds ago. The reason that if there's two Christians and one gives into fornication, they have broken that picture of one flesh that God has of them. And when you fornicate, you dissolve that oneness. And the person who fornicated had better really, really find Christ in a real way and repent and get right with God and get healed. And the other person will have to seek the Lord to see what God would have them to do. It doesn't mean you have to divorce. It means you have to deal with the issues. And then when the issues have been dealt with and there's healing and deliverance, then there can come that unity again. And at that point, God would see you as equally yoked again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make sense now? See, when the Lord started revealing this to me, it made sense. What he's after. What is God after? These aren't just random rules. This is about this powerful, powerful unity between a husband and wife that represents the unity between Christ and his bride. And if the bride ever wants to leave, you can walk away from God if you choose to. And if the bride ever finds another lover, goes after another religion, gets another idol, then she's fornicated and she's chosen to walk away from her salvation, hers or his, the bride. Do you see what I'm saying? These are spiritual laws that are acted out in natural relationship. Isn't that amazing? It makes sense. Everything God does is to reflect him, right? The Bible says everything that's created was created for him, through him, about him, to reveal him.